Jesus boldly met Judas and the arresting officers. Peter boldly denied knowing the Lord. And what or where do we stand? Are we like Pilate, not wanting to commit ourselves either way? Let us begin to see what Jesus endured. We're in John 18, 28 through 32. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." But the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" After a trial with Caiaphas, they led Jesus to the praetorium, which means they were handing him over to the Romans. Enough time has now slipped by that it is now in the early morning hours of Friday. Interestingly, the Jews did not go into the praetorium, for they didn't want to defile themselves by going into a place of the Gentiles. Like Peter, you may remember, years later found in Acts chapter 10 where he wouldn't go into the home of Cornelius. It's okay to plot an innocent man's death, just don't go into the home or business or government building of a Gentile. While Jesus and his disciples had already eaten the Passover, these Jewish leaders either had not, because they were too busy plotting the death of Jesus, or John simply referred to the larger feast of the Passover, which lasted for several days. Now, Pilate accommodated the Jews and went out to meet them, and he wanted to know what crime had Jesus committed. They did not specify the charges because they had no real charges to make. They simply stated, "Pilate, we delivered him to you because he's an evildoer. If he wasn't, we wouldn't have given him to you." So they either wanted Pilate just to accept blindly their accusation about Jesus, or they probably figured, well, you know what, if you examine him yourself, you'll find something wrong with him. But Pilate tried to get out of it, for they had not given him a reason to condemn Jesus, so he deferred them to their own law. "You take him and judge him according to your law." Well, the Jews threw Jesus right back to the Romans, stating that they could not put someone to death because we know that the Romans had made a law that, you know, the local peoples couldn't do that. That was for the Romans to handle. And here again, John told us that a simple statement fulfilled prophecy. For Jesus had said that he would be lifted up like the serpent in the wilderness. Remember he said that just before he gave us what we call the golden text of the Bible, John 3:16? See, under Roman law, that could only mean one thing, crucifixion. Whereas if the Jews were going to kill him, they would do it the way they killed Stephen, by stoning. And that's driving a person to the ground, whereas the Romans would lift up a person. Well, here's Pilate's verdict in verses 33 to 38. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." So Pilate returned to Jesus, knowing something about him, and asked if Jesus happened to be the King of the Jews. And Jesus wanted to know, "Pilate, where did you get this information? Is this something that you learned yourself? Or are you starting to believe the accusations of the Jews against me?" Well, Pilate put off Jesus, denying that he was a Jew. "It was the nation of Jesus," he was trying to emphasize to him, "who delivered you to me." So Pilate asked a good question. "What have you done?" He's figuring to himself, it must be that you've done something. You've done something to irritate these people and aggravate them. What is it you've done? Well, Jesus answered both the questions of being a priest and as well as of what he had done. Yes, Jesus was a king, and he had come to establish his kingdom, yet the Romans had nothing to fear from Jesus and his kingdom, because the kingdom of Jesus, he said, is not of this world. If it was, Pilate would certainly know, because his servants would be fighting for him so that he would not be turned over to the Jews. Therefore, let everyone get this. Pilate, Jews, all peoples. The kingdom of Christ is not from here, the earth. It is not of the earth. Well, hearing such words, Pilate questioned whether Jesus was a king again, wanting a clear confession. So it sounds like Jesus is touching on the fact that he's a king, but he hasn't come right out and said, "I am a king. I am the King of the Jews." He wants to hear that because it'll give him something to latch on to. Jesus did not deny it, but confessed before Pilate that he was a king, having been born and having come into the world for that very purpose, that he should bear witness to his true identity. And those who are his servants in his kingdom, he said, are those who are of the truth. Oh, right there, with the mention of truth, Pilate found a philosophical and mystical way to get out of this, or so he thought. Jesus spoke with an otherworldly tone, and so Pilate joined in. He could do that too, he thought. So he questioned, "What is truth?" And Jesus evidently said nothing. Pilate said no more. So he left Jesus alone, went back to the Jews, and pronounced his verdict of no fault. "Okay, Pilate, that should end the whole thing. Release Jesus. Or, if you don't think it'd be safe for him to do that, then get several hundred of your troops together and Give him safe travel out of the country. Take him to Syria. Take him to North Africa. Take him to Spain or something, or England. You've got troops clear up there. Get him away from the Jews. But he wouldn't do it. Now watch what happened next in verses 39 and 40. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Then they all cried again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas, John said, was a robber. No, Pilate did not release Jesus, but sought to appease the bloodthirsty Jews, offering to keep an agreement that he had made with them to release annually at the Passover a prisoner of their choosing. And he offered to release Jesus. He's your king. You claimed that. So I'll release him to you. But they would have none of that. And perhaps in anticipation that he would do that, they'd already picked out a man. Barabbas, a robber, a taker and not a giver, like Jesus. So now the Romans start to deal with Jesus. Verses 1 through 3 of chapter 19. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. Pilate submitted to their wish, and again trying to appease the Jews, he submitted Jesus to a Roman scourging. Although Pilate knew Jesus was innocent of any charges. Pilate even allowed his soldiers to make a crown of thorns, put it on the head of Jesus, and put a robe on him to make him look ridiculous as a king. Bleeding from the scourging, now bleeding with the crown of thorns on his head. The Jews have already slapped him, as we noticed this morning. Jesus looks pretty bad. Does he look like a king? And so they make fun of him. "Hail, King of the Jews." They thought it was fun. They mocked him and punched him. The Jews had slapped him, but they're punching him. In verses 4 through 7, Pilate presents the Son of God to the Jews. Then Pilate went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." Pilate declared that he found no fault with Jesus. Pilate went out first to make his declaration, and then having made it, he had his soldiers bring out Jesus. After Pilate's soldiers played like little boys, he brought out Jesus to the Jews with the crown of thorns on a head that's been beaten by Roman hand-to-hand combat soldiers and a body full of lacerations from the scourging. Perhaps, he's thinking to himself, this will satisfy the bloodlust of the Jews. And so Pilate asked the Jews to look at him. Behold the man, look at him. Whatever it is you think he's done, has he not suffered enough punishment? They can tell he's been beaten up just if he had not had the crown of thorns and not the scourging. Just the physical beating from Roman soldiers. You know, that would look bad enough. But he has to have blood running down his head, his face. And I don't know if Jesus is standing there erect, you know, like you would if you're okay. He may be hunched over. So Pilate asked the Jews to look at Jesus, not knowing the hatred of the Jews. And of course, he's hoping and thinking that this would satisfy the Jews. But they wanted him dead in the most horrible way possible. Pilate, what you've done to him so far does not match his crime. Therefore, without repulsion, by what the Romans had already done to him, they yelled to Pilate to crucify Jesus. The Jews finished reasoning and presenting arguments. It was just time to drown out Pilate by yelling their demand. Just the sheer volume and power of their voices, they thought, we'll just overpower him and he'll do what we want. Pilate, knowing that Jesus was innocent, told them to take Jesus and crucify him, which Pilate knew would violate Roman law because the Jews would be executing someone and Roman law forbid that. And Pilate's own confession is that Jesus was innocent, which means that now Pilate's committing sin because he had a man scourged and allowed him to be beaten and mocked and ridiculed when he knew the man was innocent. Pilate had told them earlier to judge Jesus according to their Jewish law, which the Jews now threw back at Pilate that according to their law, Jesus was worthy of death for blaspheming because he claimed to be the Son of God. Which was a much greater crime than just simply being the king of the Jews. Perhaps now Pilate will crucify Jesus, they must have been thinking. Look at verses 8 through 11. Pilate's confrontation with the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Having heard that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, Pilate was really afraid now. For he had not only a potential rebel on hand, by claiming to be the king of the Jews, he now had a king who claimed to be the Son of God. He thought, man, this is the potential for wrong here is great, but he still didn't think Jesus had done anything wrong. So Pilate figured there had to be more to this Jesus. All the protestations of the Jews against him, it must be this guy's done something. I got to keep interrogating him and maybe I'll find it. So, the Roman governor went back to Jesus and questioned him further, asking, you know, where are you from? Hoping that maybe he's not even under my jurisdiction. And in fact, the other gospel accounts tell us that that's exactly what was going on here. And at this point, he turned him over to Herod. John doesn't mention this. Herod couldn't find anything wrong with him, so he sent him back to Pilate. But when Pilate asked him, where are you from? Jesus didn't say a word. And you know something? Pilate wouldn't have believed it if Jesus had told him where he was truly from. Jesus could see what Pilate was doing, but Jesus could not escape death. He knew his appointment, and he wasn't going to miss it. Pilate, a Roman authority with great power, was not used to people ignoring him. He wanted Jesus to know of the authority of a Roman governor. Don't you know I have the power to crucify you or to release you? Okay, Pilate, so why haven't you done either one? Jesus let Pilate know that he knew of Pilate's authority because, Pilate, you got your authority from above, which meant heaven, which meant further that Jesus himself had allowed Pilate to have that authority. Jesus knew Pilate's predicament. Nevertheless, Pilate still sinned in this matter, although he said the one who had delivered Jesus to Pilate had greater sin. Do not let anyone tell you that there's not greater sin. Yes, some sin is greater than other sins. Jesus himself right here said that. Pilate had sin. Because he was allowing an innocent man to be held captive, to be scourged, to be beaten, and mocked, although he knew Jesus to be innocent. So Pilate was merely letting an innocent man suffer these things, but the Jews, they should have known that he was the Son of God. And so they had greater sin. They had greater responsibility and accountability in this matter. So is it Caesar or Christ? Verses 12 through 15. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. And that sealed it. The calm reasoning of Jesus persuaded Pilate, leading him to seek the release of Jesus. You know, there's something about the first few words of verse 12 that just don't sound right. Pilate sought to release him? As though the Jews had the authority and Pilate was supposed to listen to them. Did not Pilate just say he had the power to make the decision? He could do what he wanted. You don't need to seek to release him. You know he's innocent. Let him go. As Pilate continued to work to release Jesus, the Jews continued to work on Pilate, persuading him that if he let Jesus go, Pilate was not a friend of Caesar. And that's not a good thing for a Roman governor. They claimed that Jesus, by making himself a king, spoke against Caesar. And if Pilate sides with Jesus, that means Pilate also is going to be speaking against Caesar. And oh, that would be deep trouble for Pilate. It would mean his death. They'd either, well, they probably wouldn't crucify him because he was Roman, but they'd cut his head off or something. Pilate heard enough. He tried one last time to release Jesus. He sat down in the judgment seat, having Jesus with him. Now you'll notice much time has transpired, for it is now 6 o'clock in the morning on the preparation day of the Passover. And again, he wanted the Jews to look at Jesus and the brutal treatment that his Roman soldiers had given Jesus. Behold your king. Look at him. It's obvious he's not a king. Look how my soldiers have dressed him. Look how they've treated him. No one's defending him. He's not a king. I think it's his implication. I've made the poor man suffer. But it was not enough for the Jews. They yelled out again to take Jesus away and crucify him. He wanted to know, do you really want your king crucified? To which the chief priests, that's Annas and Caiaphas, stated their loyalty that the only king they had was Caesar. My personal opinion is that when God heard that, that ended the whole thing there. And he allowed Pilate to do what he did next. And I think Annas and Caiaphas were only covering their tracks. It's kind of like they were looking like, we're only doing what's best for the empire, Pilate, whereas we're not quite so sure about you. So then, they've made their choice. And verse 16 says, then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. No more needed to be said. Look at the decision Pilate made. He delivered Jesus to the Jews, that is, to their desire to have him crucified. Do not let the first few words of verse 16 fool you with its simplicity. The actual writing of those words, you could say that was easy for John. But the meaning of those words, he must have written with great difficulty because he was there. He saw all this happening. Remember, he was there at the trials of the Jews. And he was at the crucifixion scene. He saw and no doubt felt what they did to Jesus. I encourage you to meditate over that first sentence of verse 16 slowly this week. There's a lot there. No embellishment on John's part. He doesn't tell us all about a crucifixion. Because he knew that his initial readers, they knew exactly what that meant. Would you just dwell on that this week? Just look at those words again. Read them to yourself. John 19:16. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then, in the second sentence, John wrote that the Romans and the Jews took Jesus and led him away. Do you know what happened next? In 2 weeks, we'll take a look at what happened. Some of you may know what happened next. And some of you may know why it happened. And some of you might want to do something about it tonight. If you're ready to become a Christian and you want to walk with Jesus every day, please come forward right now as we stand and sing.